I'm gonna give you some like hobo lore here.
Okay, I'm ready for the hobo lore.
All right, everybody turn on the buzzers. Hobo lore.
This is the Swine Before Pearls podcast with Joel and Trent.
Hey, what's up? It's me, Joel.
And it's also me, not Joel.
That's right. That's Trent.
Hi.
Trent's my friend.
Welcome to...
We're friends.
Welcome to award season.
Hey, ba-ba-da-ba.
Do-do-do-do.
It's award season.
Yeah, we're covering things that got awarded in 2021, which means that they were the best thing of 2020.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, I guess this is the podcast. Welcome to Swine
sure
Before
is.
Pearls, where we talk about stuff.
We have a lot of variety. We get our content from a lot of sources.
Yep.
And today is from the Oscars.
100%.
Which film buffs, I think, hate the Oscars.
I think they do.
But here's the deal. It's considered the best somewhere.
Yeah.
So it's not really my problem whether you think the Oscars are valid, because I'm just here to find what people think is the best somewhere. And this is allegedly the best of 2021.
Yeah, we don't care. So today we're going to be talking about Nomadland.
Woo! Which you had already seen.
I had already seen Nomadland, so I was actually pretty stoked for Nomadland when it first came out.
When it first came out?
Yeah. So this was a 2020 movie that was awarded in 2021, and that's when they were real big on putting movies on streaming platforms right as they released instead of giving them a theater release. So when this first came out, I could like immediately watch it because they were kind of just putting it on Hulu, which was great because I really wanted to see it because I watched the trailer and I thought, yeah, this seems like pretty accurate to my vibe. So yes, I had already seen it before, and I'm excited to talk about it now because you hadn't seen it. And
I think this is the best Oscar Best Picture the first Oscar Best Picture winner I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
Maybe. Unless, like, Star Wars or something got it. But other than that, I think that's the first Oscar Best Picture.
I'm sure, like, Star Wars Episode 4 got an award or something.
I mean, I'm sure it got awards. I've definitely seen movies that have gotten awards. I think Marvel movies tend to get, like, some obscure, like, special effects awards.
Best background Foley.
That belongs to Star Wars.
Yeah, so I've seen Nomadland. This was my second run through on Nomadland, and it was your first run through.
Yep.
And I think we'll have a pretty interesting dialogue about it.
Yeah, this is definitely more your area of expertise,
sure,
content wise than
sure.
mine.
Yeah.
Not that I'm totally unequipped to talk about anything here. We're not tackling the large issues today.
We're not equipped. Yeah, no. So I guess tell me about your experience. Like tell me some of your thoughts.
I mean, I think in some ways it's a very I don't know the right word, but unimpactful movie.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like this is real life.
Yeah.
I'm watching real life right now. This is someone's real life.
Yeah.
Which in a lot of ways is very cool.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see someone else's life, and it's all very believable.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine this happening to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And if this was like found footage of someone's real life.
Yeah.
Like there wouldn't be any bells ringing of this doesn't seem quite right.
Yeah.
So that's both a plus and a negative almost.
Okay.
Where I almost like movies to be kind of heightened reality.
Sure.
But it was very realistic and provides interesting insights into someone's life.
Yeah. Well, it's also, I think something I noticed about it, which I might have noticed my first time watching through, it's filmed almost like a documentary with actors in it.
Yeah.
With actors kind of peppered in it. Because some of the people in that movie are real people. Like a lot of the people in like the caravans that they get to with the van lifer caravans, those are just regular people.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. A lot of those people in that movie are just regular people that actually like live out on the road like that. And they basically just stuck an actor with a story and a plot around it and just stuck them in those areas as set pieces.
So is it like Fern and David are the only actual actors?
No,
or?
There's like a few actual actors. Like I'm sure you could look up the list but a majority of the people in that movie are just real people.
Wow.
Just kind of living their lives, which I thought was kind of meta. And yeah, it was kind of interesting because it's like, yeah, you're basically, don't change anything about yourself. Don't act. Don't do anything. You're just a person that's here. And this person's going to be here and telling a story and doing a thing.
That's really cool.
And it seemed to actually work really well. It flowed really well because you don't really notice it. I think your first time around watching it as much. And I think you could really get away with that in a community like people who are van lifers and nomads and on the road.
They're interesting enough on their own.
Because they're interesting enough on their own. And it's like, that's kind of what I like about the movie is it wasn't like, I don't know. I get the feeling that a lot of some of the stuff in there wasn't necessarily planned. It was just there because it happened. And I think that is the essence of a great American adventure, is the things unplanned. And I think in that case, in those terms, this movie really captures the spirit of that really well.
Yeah.
I mean, it does its job dutifully. So I really appreciate that aspect of it.
That's really cool artistically. I've been getting like a little more like in my head about art, I think partially from this podcast and just trying to seek some of that stuff out a little more.
Yeah, for sure.
And I love that intersection of reality with art. That's super cool.
Yeah. No, and Sorry.
Oh, man. Oh, no.
I've been working all day and I got dust in my lungs. No, but I really like that intersection. I really like that intersection, and I think this movie, I hate to say it because it sounds so trite, but I think this movie has a lot to say about society.
There we go. That is the tell of good art, though.
Yeah.
When it has something meaningful to say about life and the people around us.
Yeah. So a big part for me in this movie is in the opening where she's kind of working at an Amazon warehouse.
Oh yeah. I have some words about the presentation of how
give that Amazon. To me.
Okay. Listen to me, gang. This is going to prevent us from getting any Audible sponsors in the future. So Audible, if you're Amazon, anyone who writes the checks for Amazon,
Rip.
If you guys are listening,
Rip.
I love you, Amazon.
Rip.
You don't have to listen anymore.
I have an Alexa in my house.
Yeah, I have an Alexa in my house too. I love Amazon products.
Amazon is great.
I love two-day shipping. Okay. hopefully they're gone now. Don't work for Amazon.
No.
Don't do it.
No.
Okay? You might think to yourself, no, they pay well. Don't do it.
Yeah.
You might think to yourself, I'm going to do an office job. Don't do it. Okay? Let me tell you. I had a professor in college. He worked for Amazon doing an office job. They had several employees with all sorts of mental health issues because they were stuck at a job that worked them to the bone, did nothing to care for their mental health, and just took everything from them. This is an office job. These are supposed to be the cushy things. Do not work for Amazon. They had to call 911 because someone's mental health got so bad that they like fell apart and they had to get an ambulance. And the ambulance picked them up from work and they just kept working. Everybody had to keep working. Do not work for Amazon. Worked great for Fern, but this movie seems a little sponsored by Amazon. Which, Amazon, if you're listening, send us those Audible bucks.
Well, do you think it worked great for Fern?
I mean, it worked out okay. She met a new friend.
Yeah. I've met tons of friends at crappy jobs.
Yeah. But
you can meet friends.
It did seem a little glorified. Like it seemed like not the best job in the world, but as far as crappy jobs, it seemed fairly reasonable.
So what I kind of got out of that initial thing, it felt dystopian.
Hmm. Interesting.
That's the best way I can describe it. Because this movie plays on a lot of themes. It's got dystopian present versus like the remnants of this ancient Americana that people are trying to find, right?
Yeah.
And it's this contrast. And you immediately see that contrast with Amazon at the start because it's just these big oppressive box buildings. You know, like that's the best way I can say it's oppressive. Like you watch that scene and it's just oppressive. And I think she's able to do it because she has the idea of the road in her head to have that adventure. So basically all she's doing is working to have that adventure. And I think that gives her a different motivation than people who are just there for the 9 to 5. Because in terms of like pickup work, a lot of people go to Amazon for just pickup work to be like, I'm going to work here for 5 months, make my money and quit. And I'll just suffer for 5 months because I know I'm going to have a better life or money to have my adventure, to fund my adventure going forward.
Huh. Interesting.
You know,
which something that did actually kind of make me like sad watching the actual movie is everyone there was old,
mm-hmm.
right? So they had kind of lost their opportunities. There's not a whole lot of like upward mobility when you're at that age to move on and grow. If you're there at that age, there's not a lot of future for you. I don't think.
And I think that's why the life on the road is such a interesting aspect for you're getting old. Like, what do you do? You know, it's like you either live out your days seeking adventure for the last that you can, or you do whatever and go to a nursing home, you know? And that's kind of a theme is this rejection. There's a lot of like rejecting the societal norms to go do your thing. But if you think about it, they're a part of a dying breed and a dying generation. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna give you some like hobo lore here.
Okay. I'm ready for the hobo lore.
All right. Everybody turn on the buzzers. Hobo lore.
Hobo lore.
Okay. So back in the post World War II America, right?
Yep.
It's like the late 1940s, early 1950s, Americans are getting kind of lulled into a sense of complacency, consumerism, all this stuff, right? So there's this guy and he writes this book. His name's Jack Kerouac. Okay.
Oh, I've heard of him.
Yeah. So Jack Kerouac writes a book. It's called On the Road. And On the Road is basically about him hitchhiking and having all of these crazy adventures while hitchhiking across America, you know, philosophizing, all this stuff. But it's kind of this, it's kind of the like Rosetta Stone, like the godfather of the American hobo and that kind of Americana, right? So all these older people are growing up in that generation of go find freedom on the road, you know? I think even you and I have had that experience of we don't know what to do. Let's go to California. You know, it looked different for us because there's different rules that we have to play out by, but it's that same kind of spirit of adventure, right? And so these people who are older in the movie, they're kind of living out their final days of that generation. Cause while there's still that spirit, it looks very differently than it used to.
Yeah. Something interesting that I saw in the movie was when you get older and you think about getting older, the impression you get is that the older you get, the more you settle down and things get stable and you get more and more sedentary.
Mm-hmm.
And even though this movie is about older people, there's a real sense of youth about it almost.
Sure, yeah.
There's a lot of adventure, and she picks up and moves to a new life, and that feels like a young person's world.
Yeah.
but she's doing it as an older person who has already experienced growing in a career, getting married.
Yeah.
And now she's a widow.
Mm-hmm.
And she's having all of these new experiences that I would normally attribute to younger people.
Yeah. And that's like the really cool, I think that's a really cool aspect of it is, you know, she doesn't really romanticize that life. It's like, I've already experienced that. Let's go find something different. And you're right. She does, like, she has a park ranger boyfriend, or like, I've got friends that could probably tell you the similar story, and it's like, they're 21, you know, maybe not being a widow, but it's like, it's same kind of stuff, different generation. And I think there's like hope in that, in a way where it's like, you're never too old to try something new or to start something new. You know, there's always an opportunity. But with that opportunity, I think comes a lot of sacrifice. And I think that's something that's not seen. So it's like, you know, van life, travel across America, go to the national parks. These things have all been kind of commercialized and almost like idealized by like social media, where it's like,
yeah.
Oh, me and my boyfriend and our dog Cujo are getting in our Sprinter van, and we're going to drive all the way across, and we're going to go on hikes, and we're going to get bikes. And I know a lot of people like that, and they're cool people and they're great people. But what they don't tell you about, and what you don't see a lot, is the sacrifices and the emotional, mental turmoil in between stuff. Like, she has to go live at her sister's house, and it's like this almost like defeat, you know? It's like, oh, I'm back to square one.
Yeah. And her friends are worried for her.
Yeah.
And like, her friend's daughter comes up to her and says, oh, my mom said you're homeless.
Yeah.
Which she kind of doesn't see herself as homeless.
No.
Because she's actively making the decision to live out of her van.
Yeah.
But it's something that is also kind of worrying. Like, if I had someone close to me like Fern, I'd probably be a little worried for her.
Yeah, sure. And that's the thing I think we don't see in all the glamorized van life stuff, is there are very real people that commit their life to this way of living, not because it's like trendy, but because it's just what they do and what they kind of have to do, you know, where it's like, houses are getting too expensive, jobs are getting harder to come by, you know, and you just kind of live out on the road. And even that's difficult, you know, doing all these pickup jobs, cleaning toilets. You know, I remember when I was, you know, it's not like I've had the same intensity as Fern, but I've had times where I'm like just going out of a van doing my thing. And I remember making money by chopping firewood for a guy, you know?
Yeah.
And that's like, that's just how you make your money. And that's just how you do it. And it's like, you're not homeless, but at the same time, it's like, there's not a lot to go back to as well, you know?
Yeah. And the movie does actually display what it looks like to work at a crappy job. Cause I've worked a few crappy jobs in my day, and it's very accurate. Yeah. I felt right at home.
In what way?
Just the feeling and the community and the experiences of those sorts of work. Like, there's this moment where she's working at the trailer park, I think.
Yeah.
And she's driving around and goofing off with her friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then they stop. They're cleaning stuff up. And then they get interrupted to go turn the power on, and they kind of have to interact with the customers. And all of that feels very familiar to me.
Sure.
Like when I was supervising the bowling alley or when I was catering, those were exactly the sorts of experiences that I had, and those feelings matched up very well.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, in essence, that's kind of just like, I think that's what makes this movie so great, is it dives into a subculture that you don't really get to see in depth a lot, which is kind of the modern American hobo, you know, not like a homeless person, but a hobo, like somebody who travels and gets odd jobs and kind of drifts and does their thing. And I think there's spirit in us that can all like relate to that in some way, even if we're not just like entrenched in that lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's beautiful.
I think the great thing about it is it pulls from the familiar and the unfamiliar for us.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of moments that are very easy to relate to.
Yeah.
Like when she goes and visits David's family, that felt very real. And I've been in experiences like that that made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Or when she's sitting at the bar kind of being awkward and the dude's like, hey, you want to dance? She's kind of about it. And she's in a different spot than I would be if I was in a similar situation.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there's something that I can connect with there.
Yeah. No, and that's I think that's a big reason why this movie communicates very well to the viewer, you know? And when I first watched it, I was like, oh, is this going to be like a lot of like, you know, philosophical waxing about life on the road and all this other stuff? But it's so real. It feels real. Like you almost can't distinguish Fern from like just a real person. And I think there's a lot of stuff about the life on the road that's also alien, you know, these communal tribes of people all living out of their cars and vans and stuff, getting together in the desert to like have a bonfire and talk. Like we can resonate with that to an extent, but it's also kind of alien. It's like, wow, this is a part of America, you know, because sometimes I think we think of America and it's, you know, suburbs and sports and Walmart, you know, and we're not thinking about, wow, there's these really interesting people that are just kind of roaming around on the road. Like, I remember I was driving my minivan from Wisconsin all the way to Colorado, and I stopped at a rest stop, and there was this older dude, and I like just started having my van. So I was like obviously really stoked, and it was like, I've got a van now, like I'm the van guy. And I remember I was at a rest stop, and there was this old dude, and he had like a bigger van, but it was kind of a junker. You know, it wasn't like one of these really nice sprinter vans that the influencers have. It was just like, it was like Zach's van from high school, but with like a mattress and a frame. And I started talking to him, and he just like, unlike anybody I ever met, you know, cause he's like, it's kind of like talking to a homeless person, but at the same time, it's a dude with a car. And he had like an accent, like a little bit of a Slavic accent. And I was like, oh, well, you know, where are you from? And he was like, I'm from anywhere. And I was like, wow, this guy's like OG. Like this guy is really just like on the road in the middle of winter in Wisconsin with his dog. And this is his life. Like this is just what he does. And it's kind of crazy that people are roving around America like that. And you would never know unless you went out and experienced it.
Yeah. Which the people in this movie feel real in that way.
Yeah.
To the point where second watching of this movie, the guy was talking to Fern about how his son committed suicide.
Yeah.
I actually like started crying for him a little bit.
That's a real dude.
Yeah. Did that actually happen?
That's a real dude.
That explains why it felt so real.
Yeah.
Yeah, that hit me hard.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's hitting me hard again.
Shoot.
I'm gonna hold my stuff together fine, but man, that's tough.
And that's the crazy thing of like when you get out on the road and you're meeting people like that, like a lot of people are there not just for like monetary reasons or whatever. It's because they're like, I think a big part of this film is running away from your pain.
Yeah.
That's kind of a big, like when we went to California, I was in a lot of pain. Like,
and I wasn't in a great
spot. And you weren't in a great spot. And so it made sense, and it made for this beautiful adventure because it was like, what do we have to lose? You know, we're going to learn something about ourselves. And I think that's what this movie is communicating as well, is like a lot of the people out there in that fire circle, Fern, they're all driving away from something and they're trying to come to this conclusion, like dead husband, suicide, whatever it is. They're trying to find their answers out there, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of, it's crazy how effective and not effective that is at the same time, you know? And that's just another element that makes this movie just really real, you know?
Yeah. With this being an Oscar award winning movie, I had no idea what to expect.
Yeah.
And my expectation of Oscar movies before was that it was all pretentious.
Mm-hmm.
It was all just philosophical waxing. Sure. Sure. And that regular Joes like me wouldn't be able to enjoy movies.
Yeah.
That win Oscars. But that was a great experience.
This is a movie for the regular Joe, and I mean it touches on so much in its runtime, you know.
Yeah.
Like working for a massive corporate overlord and doing adventure, burning out from adventure. That's the big thing, is like that lifestyle burns you out. Like I know so many people that try to live on the road and get burnt out from it.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because while there's a freedom of driving mindlessly and you're alone with your thoughts and you can just process, which is the cool thing about driving, it's like therapeutic, you know?
Yeah.
There's also this dread of, there's also no meaning to what I'm doing. Like it's ultimately a fruitless endeavor that I'm just kind of draining my money down and I'm going to get nowhere. And there's this existential dread that kind of comes with living on the road as well. And I've seen a lot of my friends who try to like almost replicate this kind of lifestyle burn out on it in a year or two. Yeah. Because it's just so mentally hard on you when you're like, I'm running out of money, I can't get a job, I'm so far away from home, I don't have a community, you know, I'm detached. And it's something that our daily lives we don't really think about because everything's 9 to 5, everything's like clearly laid out. But like what we experience in California, there's some days you got to wake up and say, I don't know where we're going to go. I don't know where we're going to sleep. And we just got to figure this out.
Yeah. And it's a commitment is ultimately the tough thing about it, right?
Yeah.
Because if I decide I'm going to go to the mountains for the day,
yeah,
I'm committed to be in the mountains for the day.
For the day.
But living that van lifestyle, you don't get to pick and choose the good and the bad.
Yeah.
It all comes wrapped in together.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge that they have to face.
Yeah, it's the challenge and, you know, the mental breakdowns, the car breakdowns, you know, like when your life's tied to your car, if that breaks down, that's a serious. And we see with Fern, like that's a huge plot point that her van breaks down. It's like, that's your life right there. You know, like you got to figure it out and get back on or figure your stuff out. And it's just this constant battle between the dread of comfortability but the freedom of the road, you know. And I felt that so much, you know, while watching this movie, because that's a lot of the life that I've lived, you
yeah.
know.
That's very much a more you thing.
Sure. Yeah.
Although it does also bring me back to the old days when all these kids that we worked with at the camp thought you were homeless, but you actually lived in a very nice home in Highlands Ranch and would just go camping in your van on the weekends.
Yeah. No, that was wild. I got, there was like a town homeless guy in the town near the camp. There was like a local homeless yeah. guy. And I remember I walked into the camp and they thought I was that homeless guy. Like they were like, is that Chris? Oh no, wait, that's Joel. And it was like, cause I was just like really raggedy and all this other stuff. And you know, here's the thing. I'm gonna dox myself a little bit and cancel myself here.
Those are two different things.
I'm gonna just cancel myself.
Okay, great.
I really wanted to be that guy when I was in high school, right? Obviously, you know, you're looking yeah. for a personality, you're looking for an identity, and I was like, oh, I'm the cool, like, chossy granola homeless guy who hangs out in his van. But really, I come from a pretty nice house and parents that love me. And all this other stuff. And that was something I deeply desired, to like live on the road and all this stuff. But I didn't really know how to enact it. And then like the last few years, I've actually kind of enacted that.
Yeah, you live in an RV now.
I live in an RV now, which is awesome. Come check it out. That's where the podcast was originally going to be filmed, but yeah. I don't have enough power.
You idiot.
I don't have Wi-Fi. But what I found out was, you know, you kind of slowly build yourself into actually being that person, and then you realize it's also not as cracked out as you think it is.
Yeah, I believe that.
You know?
I can already tell you now, I understand that I would struggle with certain aspects of that lifestyle.
Sure. Well, I think a big thing is, I think a big thing is always saying goodbye.
Oh, yeah.
Always saying goodbye, meeting very intense people, because that's a lot of people I've met in those circles. They're always, like, they're chill, but they're also really intense. Like, they have a lot of, like, stuff going on. And you have these, like, really explosive connections with them, and then they're just gone. And you don't know where they are. You don't know where they live anymore. You know, they're just gone. They've gone somewhere else. And it's this constant nomadic lifestyle of, I got to keep moving. I got to keep moving. And
that's got to be very emotionally taxing as well.
Yeah. That stuff starts to hit you where it's like, man, I spent 3 days with this guy. I had a wonderful time. Like, he's somebody I could be best friends with. And now he's gone. And I don't know where he is anymore. I've tried calling him. I heard his RV broke down somewhere in Kansas, and that was the last I ever heard of him.
Yeah.
Who knows where he's at?
Which, there's also a certain appeal to that, I think, as well. Towards the end of the movie, David invites Fern over to meet his family.
Mm-hmm.
And his, like, daughter-in-law or whatever is like, hey, you should stay with us.
Yeah.
And she appreciates the offer and just kind of dips.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the end of the movie.
The old Irish goodbye.
Yeah. So it's that lifestyle is almost built into her.
Yeah.
And she can't escape it almost.
Yeah. And there's some people that traveling nonstop, they can do it. You know, there's some people that are just built for it in a way that you or I might not be built for it, you know? And I think even, you know, I'm a people person and I'm also like community focused. So if I'm away from a community too long, then I kind of start to go crazy. So eventually I need to ground myself to something.
Yeah. All right. For me, what I really need is roots.
Yeah.
Like I can't hop into a new situation and be happy with that.
Yeah.
I need long-term connections to be happy.
Yeah. No. And I think that's the important thing is, it's the grand balance. It's always finding the grand balance. And that's why I kind of love road trips, because they give you a taste of life on the road, the American life on the road, but you don't have to sit in it and that's your life and that's what you get, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's a kind of a privilege that we can afford to have, is like, I can take a week off and go on a road trip, but I still have a job when I come back and people that love me. And that's something that I have. You know,
and this movie is sort of like your own personal little road trip.
It is a personal little road trip. And it's crazy because when I first saw the trailer for this movie, I thought it was going to be more about actually traveling. But I think it's, at the end of the day, it's more about people. It's like, sure, they're at Bryce Canyon and oh my gosh, it's beautiful. And oh, look at all these like cool nature areas, you know, which is why we like initially think people go out for road trips.
Yeah.
But it's really about the people. It's about the connections. You know, and I think both you and I can agree from our road trip experience that was a huge part, was just the people.
Oh, yeah. We would have had a lot less fun on the trip and a lot less interesting experiences.
Yeah.
Had it not been for the people.
Sure.
Which in our case, we were entirely dependent on the people.
Yeah.
Because We were calling them day before, like, hey, we need a place to stay.
Hey, we just left Colorado 2 days ago. We're dropping into California. Can we have a place to stay? Hey, we're dropping into Arizona. Can we have a place to stay? Hey, we're dropping into New Mexico. Do you have a place to stay? And it makes you kind of feel like a burden a little bit, but at the same time, you get to exchange stories. That's what I noticed when we were on the road together was yeah, you're kind of a burden because you're staying at this person's house and leeching off their goodwill, to house you, but in turn you can kind of give them the stories that you've experienced. Like, oh my gosh, we were, you know, we were at this gas station and there was this really sketchy dude with a black hoodie and he, you know, he was hiding behind the propane tanks and our buddy Gabe walked out and we didn't know what was going to happen and just like random New Mexico and, you know, stuff like that, just telling stories. Yeah. And that's almost your currency.
And it kind of made the people we visited feel like they were part of the adventure.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause then it wasn't resentful. It wasn't like, oh, here's three guys that I have to house up for the night.
They were all super excited.
Yeah. It was really cool. And I think I think if you haven't done a great American road trip where it's more focused on meeting people along the way instead of like, let's get to the ocean, I think you're missing out on a lot.
Meeting people is way better than touristy stuff.
It really is. And we did touristy stuff when we were on the road, but I think it was fun, like going to Yosemite, hiking around Yosemite was a good time, but it wasn't like that was the absolute highlight of our trip.
No.
Like there was just little highlights along the way. But yeah, I think we can all resonate to Nomadland from our own personal experiences in some way.
Obviously you more than me.
Sure, but
there's a lot to get there. So I think with that, it does beg the question. You just watched the best movie of 2020/2021. How are you better?
I'm better because I got to see on the big screen stuff that was in my head for a really long time actually played out and kind of put to words. So running away from your problems, living on the road, the existential crisis between getting a job and being free, all that stuff. I think I got to see that play out. And I think it helped me shape myself a little bit more balanced out for my future. I like genuinely believe that's what I got out of this movie. So that's it for me.
Yeah. So for me, I've been thinking a lot. Did I talk about this at the beginning of this podcast?
I don't know.
The nature of art. Yeah, that was at the beginning of this podcast.
Yeah.
And I think one of the strengths of it is experiencing people's lives outside of your own.
Yeah.
It makes you wiser. With fictional movies, the disadvantage is that there's always the risk of you're watching a lie, which I don't think was the case with this movie.
Yeah.
So seeing people's life experiences outside of my own and realizing the benefit of that, realizing that they're still similar to me in a lot of ways, even though they are living very different lives. They're of a different demographic, doing different things in different financial spots. But there was something super real and relatable about it. And I feel a little more wise because of it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Beautiful thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, density scale, where would you put this?
Density scale? I put it at a 4. In a lot of ways, it's very approachable.
Yeah.
But it's plot light.
Yeah.
And a lot of the benefit you get out of watching it isn't as straightforward as your typical blockbuster action movie.
Yeah. I would say a similar thing. I think it's what you get out of it, you know? Like, you can get a lot of different things out of it depending on where you're coming at it from. And I don't think it's necessarily trying to pound home one specific message. Instead, it's trying to pound a bunch of multiples. And I think it's okay to pick up on any of those, which in a way makes it less dense because there's no, like, right way to consume it, I feel like.
But a testament to some level of density is the simple fact that as we watched this movie, or like as we talked about this movie, we kind of reverted back to our older format where it's not as punchy. We haven't been telling like hardly any jokes.
No, we haven't been funny at all.
Yeah, because there's a lot to dig into with this movie.
Yeah.
And not a lot to make fun of.
No, I think it's just, you know, and our audience, I don't care if you want funny, we've got other funny episodes. If you want sad, we've got sad episodes. Yeah. Like we're a mixed bag.
Listen to me, audience. You might think that you listen to this podcast to laugh, and that may be true. You may listen to this podcast to laugh, but is that what this podcast is about?
No.
No. This podcast is about me and Joel.
Yes.
And our egos.
It's about our egos. It's about us having a good time and finding experiences.
Yep. And
that's all we care about.
If you're along for the ride and at any point you expect something different than what you get from this podcast,
boo-hoo.
That's too bad.
Boo-hoo. Shame on you.
Shame on you.
Shame on you.
How dare you?
Shut up. You think we're just clowns? You think we're little monkeys with cymbals that you can just wind up and we'll clank away whenever you want? No. You're going to sit down and you're going to have an existential conversation.
And you're going to hear Joel say existential.
Extraterrestrial.
I was talking to one of our biggest fans a couple weeks ago about our To Pimp a Butterfly episode.
Oh, no.
And he said, I'm so glad that you finally called Joel out for his pronunciation of existential.
You know what? Whoever said that, our biggest fan, come and fight me. Steven, link the address below. You can come and show up. Pick a time. I'll be there. You want to see my pronunciation? Dang it!
You walked right
now
into
I
the
see
trap.
My pronunciation. Screw. You're the worst. I love you.
I'm here to bully you. We bully each other.
Did you like the movie?
Yes.
Okay. I was meaning to get there sometime. I like the movie, too.
Yes.
We like the movie.
Yeah. It's. I think sometimes the disadvantage of this podcast, listening or watching the movies twice,
yeah,
is a lot of these movies aren't ones that you want to just hop into and rewatch right away.
No.
But it's very enjoyable and meaningful.
Yeah.
And very great. Good movie.
Great. We love that.
It was directed by Chloe Zhao, who did The Eternals.
Did she?
Yeah.
So she made the jump from Nomadland to a Marvel movie?
Yeah. And everyone was like, oh, this is going to be like the critical success. And then it's the lowest rated Marvel movie on Rotten Tomatoes.
Listen, Marvel. I'm not a big Marvel fan anymore.
You're not. You've moved on.
Listen, I'm still a huge Moon Knight fan. I could go on for hours about that, but that's beside the point. Marvel needs to stop taking indie directors and giving them a giant budget movie and saying, here you go, make something great.
No, The Eternals definitely didn't play to Chloe Zhao's strength.
I didn't even watch it.
No. I mean, you're out of the game.
I live in an RV. I live on the road. Oh, man. But yeah, dude, that was super sick. So I really like that movie. So I'm glad that we could experience that together. Yeah. So that makes me happy that we kind of share something.
We tend to agree on a lot of the media we cover.
Yeah, we need to disagree more.
It's because we live in a bubble.
We live in a bubble. Hey, audience, give us a piece of media that you think Trent and I will 100% disagree on, and we'll totally review it.
Well, we do have Marvel movies somewhere down the pipeline. Probably like a year from now, we'll see a Marvel movie.
Thank God.
So we'll have some level of disagreement about that.
Sure, I bet. So what do we got coming up on the docket, my friend?
All right, let's talk.
Let's talk, guys. So, real talk.
Gang, listen.
Gang, gang.
Next week, we got something big.
Mm.
Taylor Swift.
Folklore.
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 Big deal.
Folklore. You can listen to it while driving in your van, driving away from the memories of your dead husband.
Yeah. If you're ever on your commute and you say to yourself, man, Swine Before Pearls doesn't come up with enough content, just listen to the content that we cover.
Yeah.
There you go.
Dummy.
Yeah. Come on.
Come on. What's your issue? So Folklore, and then we have a pretty dang good book.
Hell of a book.
A pretty dang good book.
Oh, yeah. No swearing in my podcast.
Not on my Christian Minecraft podcast.
And then we have In the Field.
And then we have In the Field.
Pigs in the Field.
Pigs in a Blanket.
And then get ready, because February is going to be Valentine's month.
Oh.
Ooh, we're doing some special romance.
Oh.
Oh.
Trent and I are going to hold hands on the table the entire time.
Okay. So for the movie, I think it's called It Happened One Night.
Oh,
it's the highest rated movie on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, gosh.
And it's the highest rated romance movie on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, this sounds dense.
I think it's just kind of older, but I almost think it sounds more poppy to me.
I hate old movies.
Joel hates old movies. Yeah, that's true.
I hate old movies. I hate Marvel movies. You can't make
Joel
me happy.
Joel hates movies.
I just hate film. Martin Scorsese can go and... All right. So that's what we got on the podcast and on the pipeline coming down. And
it's all going to be fun.
It was a lot of fun. Today was fun.
Today was a good day. Hopefully you had fun.
Hey, we love you guys.
Yeah.
Keep listening. And I want to give a royal salute out to you guys and leave you with these simple words. Thumbs up, America.
I did a visual gag. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.